thing. And it looks like we have the wonderful Taylor Cole. Hello, Taylor.
Yes, here I am. I'm just going to put you on mute from while I find my headset.
Yes, excellent. Wonderful. Well, always a joy to hear from Taylor. And welcome to the call, everyone. Many blessings wherever you are in the world at this time. Here we are once again. So we are entering into the fall period for those of us in the northern hemisphere. And big changes are happening. I'm sure you're feeling it. And seeing as we have the wonderful Taylor Cole on the call, it'd be interesting to hear her perspective on the times, because Taylor always has some fascinating new insights on the different moons and the different dynamics of the world. So, Taylor, if you're situated, we'd love to hear all about it.
What are we hearing all about? I missed everything you said.
We're hearing all about what's going on. What's going on
in this next
period of time we've entered into, in the fall coming.
Well, let's put it this way. If we're all here, it's a miracle, really, given that we all survived September. So, praise the Lord, you know, really, for that. Yeah, I found personally myself September to be one heck of a month. The likes of which I haven't been through in a while, but, you know, we came out the other end. And really what the month was about was with, you know, I think, I don't know, three eclipses, one equinox, all kinds of this and that, the other thing, was, you know, the last sort of celestial clearing, so to speak, deep stuff, you know, ancestral stuff, lineage stuff, just patterns that don't longer serve us. So we, those of us who are sensitive, which is anyone on the call, certainly felt it. And, you know, used the opportunity that it was to really continue to open up to newer patterns of consciousness. So probably, I mean, for me, you know, really right after the equinox, I felt a definite ability to breathe again and have more space around me. I didn't feel like I was under a compression block or something. So the really what lies ahead here in kind of from now till the end of the year, really this is the energy already of the 2017, I think we're feeling. And so it's a real opportunity for us in this kind of little period of pausing and recovery to do just that, along with move things forward quickly before the next kind of big wave. So I think it's a really good time for, if there's been projects that have kind of, you had to just kind of put off to the side because you were trying to survive. And, make it through the drama and whatever of this past month. Now's a good time to really make the time to really focus on what you want to move forward, because if there's a window to do that. And also it may be that a whole new future has opened up out of having gone through what we've been through this past month, whereby nothing's the same as it was, and you aren't even sure what to do, but you know that it's a whole new direction. So I'm finding a lot of people in that space too. So, you know, I would say that the real opportunity in the time that lies ahead is to spend time in really opening to receive even more and connecting and listening and following your intuition in new ways that maybe you had prior, and really tell the truth about what gives you joy and what is important to you right now. And, you know, the other thing I would say is to slow down because you can. You know, just listen.
Well, that's a lot. Yeah, it's been definitely been bizarre, to say the least. These are increasingly bizarre times. Bizarre and intense. So, yeah, absolutely. So this is the time, just to recap what Taylor said, to, if there is something going on that you have been postponing, then get on with it now, because we've opened up a window of opportunity where things have calmed down a little bit. So if you have something inspiring that's calling you, then jump on it while you can, because there's waves of intensity. I personally found July was exceptionally, ridiculously intense. Calmed down a little bit in August, but September again was up on another level. So I don't know, maybe it's one month on, 1 month off. Might be that.
Yeah, it seems to be like that of late.
So when it's a month off, you might as well, you know, do focus on things that you can handle doing, and then prepare yourself for another wave.
That's right. You got to jump on it right now.
Yeah. It is like waves, because, like, if for those of you who've ever gone surfing, the waves come, and if you don't catch it at the right moment, then it passes by, you know, and you miss the waves. So you have to be alert, and you have to also feel the current. And be willing to jump immediately. Yeah, surfing is a great example of this, really, because there are currents all the time. You've got to know what's going on. And if you miss the wave in surfing, on the one hand, you just miss the opportunity to surf the wave. But on the other hand, if you're in the wrong part of the wave at the wrong time, even if you're not surfing, if you're just in the ocean and the waves are big, if you're at the wrong part of the wave, you get pummeled, you get totally smashed, and people drown. You know, when I was living in Hawaii, the amount of times that I went to the beach and I saw the ambulance there because people had just died. I mean, it was just shocking, the amount of ocean related deaths. You know, we had one recently from someone very dear to us, and so the life is like this as well. So we have to, you know, be respectful of the fact that these are massive waves coming, and position ourselves in the right place at the right time. And for those of you who have been in massive waves, Taylor and I certainly have plenty of times, if you are dealing with a huge wave and you're in the ocean physically, then what you have to do is you have to dive under the wave. You have to dive under the wave. And then you're all right. If you don't, then the wave smashes you and drags you around and pulls you to the shore eventually. And so there are big waves of energy coming through in the world, and we need to dive under those energy waves. And that means going inside or going deep, going underground. You know, you have to sort of find some shelter, you know, because these energies, these emotions, these feelings, and these situations, frankly, are they're intense. And you probably noticed this, that if you don't manage manage your energy properly when you get one of these waves coming in your life, if you don't manage it, it can spiral out of control and gets worse and worse and worse and worse and lasts quite a long time. But if you dive under or you go inside and you kind of catch it at the right moment when it's coming, then you can avoid huge amounts of stress, you know, make it a lot easier on yourself. And for those of you who've been in the ocean, you've probably noticed that if you're in these big waves, if you dive under the wave, right, and you come up on the other side, what happens next? There's another wave, normally, right behind that one in front of you. So you have to dive under the next wave, and then the next wave, and then the next wave, and then after a while, if you get far enough out, then there aren't any massive waves anymore, and you're all right. So this is just a nice analogy, a nice way of looking at the energy. And so having a practice of being able to dive deep when these waves arise is definitely worth having and worth giving attention to. What do you say, Taylor?
Yes, that's exactly right, and it will be coming just like that in waves, we can be assured. So, I think that's a great analogy.
Yeah. So, you know, there's many ways of diving in deep in the waves, and of course, we've shared countless things with you already. Superhero Training has loads of things, but we have to find whatever works for us individually, and it's our responsibility to figure that out, yeah, because you probably know, everyone here knows things, and not everything is as powerful as something else, depending on who you are and where you're at and what works for you, but it is our responsibility to know what those things are and then practice them. And no one can do it for us. So, you know, we talk about the superhero tool kit or the kind of magic belt of little tools that you use. So you need to know what that is. And if you don't have any idea what it is at all, then you might want to take a couple hours or even a few minutes to figure it out. Because the better prepared you are, the better your life is. So we have a question here from San Francisco. Is that Michael in San Francisco?
Hello, brother.
Aloha, brother. How are you doing?
Good. Hello, Taylor as well.
Hey, Michael. Good to hear your voice.
Hi. So this is such a beautiful call.
Thank you. Thank you for your...
Well,
you
just made it that much more beautiful by calling it such.
Yeah, it's also nice to hear that, like, I'm not the only one feeling sort of how much energy there is.
Yes. You're not alone.
Oh, no, you're definitely not alone with that. I mean, not in the least. My phone's ringing off the hook with that conversation. So, yeah, I mean, in fact, I saw this really funny, someone sent me this funny video on YouTube. It said something like, I think the title was like September 2016, and it showed this guy like standing at the top of the hill. And then something happened, he lost his footing, and then he went tumbling down, but it was like one of those tumbles that never stopped, you know, and he kept tumbling, and he like almost grabbed onto a tree root or something to stop him, and then the tree root would let go, and I mean, it went on for like what seemed like forever, you know, I thought, oh my God, that's so perfect. So yeah, that's a lot what it was like energetically as I saw it, I felt it.
Yeah. Well, I had a question that I was coming with, and then also when Michael was talking at it, I was wondering if surfing is as valid as going under, and really what the where you would surf and where you would go under, because I feel like I try to surf everything, but you know, and I'm still learning how to surf.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Well, you know, in surfing, a lot of surfers say, you know, everyone has a perfect wave. But not every wave is your wave. Not every wave is your perfect wave. And that's the truth. You know, life has loads of waves, but they're not all for us. And so, just like there's a mountain to climb, everyone has a mountain to climb, but you need to know what your mountain is. Yeah, you can't just randomly climb mountains. There's a mountain for you. There's a wave for you. And, you know, we can't prescribe, obviously, which one's which for anyone else, because it's a feeling. It's a feeling. And I think most of the time you just sense it. You just feel that something's the energy involved in surfing a particular wave might end up causing you so much problem that it isn't worth the journey. It's not a fun experience, you know. You might, you know, get cut up by someone else, or you might not last very long, or you might end up in the rocks, you know. So I think we just kind of have a sense, and that's why, you know, Taylor was saying earlier that we need to slow down, because it's only in the stillness that you can kind of feel that. And if you've ever gone surfing, have you ever been surfing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know that there's a lot of sitting around on the board, yeah, not doing anything, yeah. It's like not really a great deal of surfing relative to waiting, really, you think about it, yeah. So most of the time you're tuning into what is going on around you, you know, and you kind of get a feel for it. And so in life it's the same thing, but if we're not silent enough, like if you're sitting on a board and your mind is all over the place and you're having conversations with all these people and arguing about things, you kind of can't feel the waves because you're distracted. So in life, it's like the same thing. We have to be quiet inside and stop everything. And then things start to surface. And we are summoned. There's a summoning from within. And when that happens, we know that's our wave.
Should we be preoccupied with the concept of, you know, gifts? Or is it more of a, or really is more of an in the moment type of a thing, and there isn't sort of, we don't have to backtrack and figure out what our gift is?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you should be preoccupied with any concept at all,
yeah,
if you can avoid it. but, yeah, I mean, I would just say that. Like, you know, it really is something that arises, or something that you're called to do. You know, it's a calling, so to speak, like an eagerness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By concept, I find, anyways, are, there's a lot of mischief in concepts, because just the notion of a concept alone, it is an indicator that you're in your head, you know, and where we want to be, when you're really looking at what true gifts are in your heart, soul, you know?
Yeah.
And so there isn't really any concept there. It's mostly feelings, you know, urges, visions, insights, intuition, you know, those are more the words that are consistent with that level of connection to your true gifts or your calling, you know, or what your soul's urging you to move forward with. And, you know, that feels very different. I'm sure you know the difference. I've felt the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, and often the more we think about things and postpone them, the more stressful and weird and distorted they become. That's and I think a lot of our problems in life actually come from just overthinking or having self-doubt or procrastination or perfectionism. You know, it's all in a sense the same thing. Perfectionism, procrastination, thinking too much. It's symptoms of the same thing, rather than just trusting in what's coming through. You know, because the gift comes through. What happens is we get inspired. We get the power. I mean, this is what happens all the time. We get the power. The power is like a charge. And then something arises. We get summoned. You know, it's like some part of us is being called to adventure. And then we move in that direction. You know, if we're willing to, we move in that direction and things start to happen. Yeah, you know, whatever it is that you're inspired to do, you're creating something. But if we get in our head, then what happens is it starts spinning, and then the ego starts saying, well, what about this and what about that, and is this right, and is it going to work, and what will people think, and am I wasting my time, or is this taking too long, or whatever it is. Yeah? And then after, you know, that might go on for a few seconds or a few hours or a few months for some people, you know, or a few years even, you know. But it doesn't take long for the energy to get distorted, and then it creates frustration, irritation, depression, sadness, I'm not good enough, and all this sort of stuff. And then nothing happens. It's like putting a guillotine to the inspiration. It's like cutting off its head. You know, it's just like this dead thing on the floor. And so we don't want that to happen. So if at all possible, when any mind game start appearing, you know, just take a breath, stop doing something. You know, just remember this is all inspired. It's all inspired. And if we don't complete our inspiration, because inspirations come, if they don't come to fruition, if they don't get completed, it creates a karmic backlog. It's kind of like we feel like this strange debt, waste, like making food and then leaving it on the counter to go cold and then throwing it away. You know, that's a bit pointless, because if you made a meal and you were supposed to eat it, you're hungry, you made the food, and then you left it. That's kind of a waste of time and money and energy. So things come through for us, the gifts come through, and all we've got to do is kind of steward them over to the finish line, if you like, or take them to wherever they're supposed to go, or to the person or the situation, and then leave it. You know, it's like a balloon. You know, you blow it up, and you have to let it go and let it fly into the sky. And then it's none of your business after that. It's none of your business. You did your job, and that's the end of it. But if we blow the balloon, you know, and we get everything ready, and then we just have it sit around, and then the balloon gets smaller and smaller and gets all wrinkly, yeah, then what's the point? Do you know what I mean? So I think rather than worrying about your gifts too much, it's more about trusting what's coming through and allowing it to find its completion as swiftly as possible, with the least amount of overthinking and analyzing. I think a lot of like mental illnesses and depression actually is just a result of perfectionism and lack of action. So you know, while the wave is the right kind of wave, finish. That's what I think.
Love it. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
That was a beautiful call to action. So my original question, I think, is still valid, and that is, when it comes to me being able to really inspire people, I just like some pointers on that, because I've noticed I'm so focused right now, and I'm so determined, and like I can feel the nishchay burning, that I can come across a little bit preachy or maybe a little bit overwhelming. It's powerful that I can do that, but at the same time, I think it would be more powerful if I was able to, you know, enroll or inspire.
So what's your question, Michael? How to be inspiring versus preachy?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you had the experience of being inspiring before?
Yes.
Certainly you must have, yeah. And I'm sure you've also had the experience of being preachy.
Yes.
Yeah. So, sometimes, you know, I've observed what happens when inspiring can shift to preachy is either a couple things. One, if you feel like maybe the person isn't with you, you know what I mean? They aren't like tracking you or following you. Or two, if you get super excited, maybe, you know, maybe that's another place it can fall into that.
Yeah. I get carried away.
Yeah. And, you know, that can happen. So I think the key is being sensitive to your listening, being in dance with their listening. And by that I mean if you were dancing with someone, and you were leading them, you were the leader, you know, and it was a slow dance, and you went one way and they went another, you wouldn't keep going that way. You would come back, you know, to get them and then try again, you know. And so energetically you want to have the same phenomenon occurring when you're in a conversation with someone. And the only way to do that is you have to be intent on listening to their listening of you. And that's an art, by the way. But it's worth mastering. It's an art that's worth mastering, because that's where true inspiration lies. Because the better you can get at listening to how they're listening to you, the better then you can get in refining your speaking such that it's hitting home with their listening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's done through recreation?
Well, no, it's mostly done from really listening to them, even though they aren't, even though you're the one that's talking, and they're the one that's listening. So, you know, it's as I said, there's not many, there's not many, I'm sorry, I'm driving across country, I've silenced all the navigational tools, so I'm hoping that I'm not but anyway, let's see, where was it? Okay, I totally lost my train of thought. What was that last question? Oh, no, you asked me. What was the last thing you said?
The last thing you said was you were talking about being intentional.
Yeah, you have to really be, not intentional, intent.
Oh, intention. Intent. Okay.
No, not intense. Intent.
Yeah.
Just intent. Intent on listening to them while you're talking and they aren't saying anything. You know, it's easy enough to listen to someone. Well, actually, it isn't easy enough to listen to someone when they're talking. Most people don't listen at all. But I mean, you can imagine that you could get good at mastering listening to people when they're talking. But very few people are good at mastering listening to people when they aren't saying anything at all and you're talking. And that, therein, is where you, Michael, could really learn to kind of shift your energetic in response to how you're observing them listening to you, such that you would know if you switch to preachy instead of inspiring just by virtue of how you were listening to them listen to you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I mean, it's something to master, but it's a distinction worth communicating about so you can start to observe it. Because, you know, I do think you'll know. And what's key is you've got to take your focus off yourself, the point you're wanting to make, you know, no matter how excited you are about it or eager. You kind of have to do two things at once. You got your, you know, whatever it is you're wanting to share and impart to them, you know, which you're all excited about. And then you've got them and how they're listening to it. And so, you know, the key is to have those two things match up where the end result is they go away inspired, and you've imparted, you know, your wisdom in such a way that's really made a difference for them. That's your end goal. And so, you know, the real art to that is being able to have the majority of your focus on them listening and hardly much at all on you talking.
Mm.
And usually
so then
people do the opposite. You know,
yeah.
Or the reverse of that.
So you use the word enthusiasm, but so then you would try to get them to match you. Is there a way for them to get them to match your sort of your enthusiasm?
You don't really need to. You know, the truth is there's really nothing you need to get them to do at all, except, and that's key. You know, if you want to give that one up, all that really needs to happen is for you to create the opening in them and their listening of whatever you're saying, to be inspired. And that may look a whole lot of ways. They may not be enthusiastic at all. They may be, you know, I think to have an expectation of how they're going to look is probably maybe what keeps you on a path of getting preachy. Because you look over there and they're like, hold on a minute, this doesn't seem to be landing. Like, look at them. They don't look excited, or they don't look, you know, enthused, or all those things. You got to give that up. Because, you know, I mean, look, as someone that's led seminars to hundreds of people, you know, I had to give that up really quickly, you know, because here I am standing in the front of the room, and I may be telling this, like, super inspiring story where I'm expecting, you know, I'm expecting, but like the greatest outcome would be, wait, hold on a second. The greatest outcome for me would be that they'd all, you know, I'd look out in an audience of like 200 people and they'd either be smiling or nodding their heads like they're following me, and or, you know, their mouth would be dropped open in awe. You know, that would be nice.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
But, you know, that'd be wonderful. But it's been my experience in, you know, hundreds and hundreds of scenarios like that, that when you look out over a room of, you know, 200 some odd people, all different places, backgrounds, and you're telling an inspiring story, chances are good that they will look all different kinds of ways, including completely bored and maybe even like looking like they're falling asleep or even upset maybe, you know, like all the things you would think would be inconsistent with your communication really landing home.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and well,
that's the same thing. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
It looks like they're all half asleep, or most of them. You get the occasional person winking and smiling with a big grin, but most of them tend to look vacant or bored or sort of not spaced out or something other than what you'd want them to look like. You know.
Yeah, and it's really true. Vacant, I would say vacant is
That's probably
because
the best, yeah.
I think so, too. Like if I were looking out over a room of 200, I'd say probably, yeah, the biggest majority of them would fall into that category right there.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So Michael, it's critical that you can't have one of the best paths to you, your end result being met is to give up all attachment to what it looks like in that path toward it being met and how it lands over there. You know
okay.
what I mean? Like, because,
okay.
yeah,
people
are going to look a whole lot of different ways. And they're going to react a whole lot of different ways.
Yeah, and
yeah.
and also it's worth knowing, Michael, because I've had this experience again and again, is that even though people tend to look a bit vacant, and like you're like, is anyone like listening or like is this going in at all? Yeah, but surprisingly, because you'd think that you afterwards everyone's just going to like mumble off and be upset, but actually. Consistently people come up afterwards and are touched and they're very, you know, very happy and sort of surprised because you wouldn't expect it based on what they look like. They look like they're bored or vacant when afterwards they say, oh my God, that was so life changing. Thank you so much. And there's all these, this blessings that you don't expect at all when you look at the people. And by the way, the same thing is true on the internet, on social media. Most people don't comment on anything. They don't like anything or love anything or whatever. They don't engage at all. So we might assume, well, no one's paying attention. This isn't helping anyone. Or if you have a mailing list, they might not all respond to you, right? And you think, well, what's going on here? But you'll find out after a while that people are watching your stuff. They're far more touched than you realize. And only a tiny percentage of people will ever tell you anything. Tiny percentage. So whatever the percentage of people currently is that says something to you, there's probably 50 times that or more who are not saying anything, who are also touched and helped. It's just good to realize these things.
Yeah, it's so good. It's such an important topic. I'm glad you brought it up. And also in addition to that, they may, you know, not, whatever you're saying may not land until a year down the road. You know what I mean? Like, I've had people come back to me and say, yeah, you know, something you said in some seminar, you know, like 4 years ago, I finally realized what you meant by that. Or you know what I mean? Like, it's really, and so we want to just give up expectations for that right off the bat. And that can really help free you up a lot, Michael, to be stand more in the space of just being present to them and your inspiration, you know, and not really looking necessarily for an outcome, but be focused more on being on an authentic transmission, just being authentic.
Okay, so I think I got it. If I can sum it up to see if I understand. It's like being a dance partner and trusting that sort of, you know, who you are, your way of being, or your spirit will come through in that process of dancing with them.
You could look at it that way, yeah, for sure. It's again, it's all concepts, there's a lovely expression in the Gita that I find touches my heart, which basically says that we all have a right. You have a right to action. You have a right to perform action. But you have no right to the result of your action. That's out of your hands. So, in other words, have to do our part and do our best and share from the heart the best we can. But what comes out of the other end of it and what happens as a result of that is that's not for us to be too attached to or at all attached to. We have to just let it go. And if we don't, then we end up very disturbed people. You know, we become control freaks and neurotic and depressed, normally, one or the other. And none of those things are particularly nice feelings. So, yeah, because dancing is good, but that kind of hopes that the other person's dancing with you, but they may or may not be dancing with you as you'd like them to. Do you see what I mean? Like, because if you have a dance partner, you'll do something, they do something, but if they don't do it and you're doing that thing, do you know what I mean? When you're working with people, it's more like a dance because you're doing stuff. Like Taylor and I, we're dancing here, you know, with these calls. You know, it's always a dance. And we're dancing here together, in a sense, because we're all on the same page in this context, in this container. But a lot of things in life, the other people involved aren't really your dance partners. But these are, of course, analogies. You know, we can say this in millions of different ways, but it's all not the thing, because the thing is something else. But just bear that in mind. Like we have a responsibility to follow our truth and do whatever is inspiring and coming up for us. But we have no right to force a result or demand a result or anything, because that's beyond. That's another level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we do our best, you know, from the heart, best we can. Do whatever's coming through to the best of your ability. Do that. And then let it go, and then do something else. You know, what the next thing is. If we wait around waiting for certain things to happen and demanding certain things, it just leads to frustration, anger, depression, and disappointment, disheartenment, and all these dissing nasty things. So,
And it's inconsistent with what inspiration is all about, you know. So the key is just to share what gives you joy, what's inspiring to you, and let it go. You know, it may land on the other person and be inspiring for them, and it may not. And, you know, we never know. But if you're drawn to share and contribute, you can be sure, you know, that's just kind of go along with the territory. I mean, I'm sure plenty of people didn't take to whatever Jesus had to say. And others were, you know, completely in awe. So that's what it is to be sort of heralding in a new age. And lead a leader of life. You know, you're out there, you know, eking out a path, and you know, there may be people that are really resonated with it, and there may not, but it doesn't stop you from eking out your path. You know, even if you only have 12 people and two of them aren't really on board like he did, you know. So I mean, that's enough, you know. So, I'm just saying, you know, you don't want to get too tied up in the whole thing. What's most important is, like Michael's saying, and I think that was a really good point. I think it's worth underscoring that it does become an issue of integrity. I find that gnaws away at you at a deep level if we don't share our gifts that are uniquely ours to share, and for you know, whatever odd reason, like our website doesn't look good enough, or you know, we don't have it together enough, or we're maybe more preachy than we should be, or you know, all those things. Really, in the bigger scheme of things, don't really matter, you know. And I think we can learn from Michelle. Certainly, that was one of the gifts she left behind, was, you know, just get on with it. Yeah, and so You know, the best way to learn is to teach. You know, the best way to, and so just begin sharing your inspiration, and that's the best way to discover how best to share it, you know, honestly. You know, trying to formulate and get it all right and sit around and figure it out isn't doing it. So, you know, you'll just start to refine it and discover it in the sharing of it better than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're, like I said, having your intention more on those you're sharing it with than yourself. You know, and as long as you're sharing from your heart, soul, it'll be heard. You know, the truth shall set you free. It will be heard by those that are meant to hear it. You can count on that. Yeah, you know, that's kind of what I, kind of my thing is, you know, that I'm committed to reaching those that I'm meant to reach. You know, that's kind of the way I go at it. Like, well, you know, if there's people around me, I guess, you know, those, or if people find me, you know, then those are the ones I'm meant to interact with, you know. And so we can trust that. You know, if that's the vector that we're setting, that we're going to inspire, you know, that's my suggestion to you, to set a vector that I'm going to inspire those that I'm meant to inspire. I can trust that. I can know that. I can believe that. And move forward from there and just, you know, just have that base of faith.
Thank you, Taylor. That was beautiful.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That was amazing. We are meant to inspire those that we are meant to inspire. I love it.
Yeah, and we aren't meant to inspire those we aren't meant to inspire. You know, period.
We give blessings to the rest.
Or whatever. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, but what we can be counted on, what we can count on, for sure and certain, is that those we're meant to inspire, we will. You know, period. And that's enough, really, right there. That's enough to move forward with, you know, and feel good about and be excited about, honestly.
Yeah, there's plenty to be going on with. And, you know, if you have just one person in front of you, you know, that's a big deal, because every single person has a whole world inside of them. You know, each one of us is our own universe. And one person is a whole universe. Yeah, there's a lot there, right? And helping somebody get through to the other side or overcome challenges or whatever it is that they're going through, that's a mission in itself, one person, you know, let alone...
That's right, and that you know, one person... is connected to a whole world of people. And, you know, honestly, you know, word of mouth is the best form of advertising. So if you've inspired one person that's connected to a whole community and world of people, well then, you know, that's going to ripple out. You know? And they'll share that inspiration to their people and so on and so forth. So, that's just the way it works.
I love it.
So go and inspire people, Michael. Off you go. No time to waste.
Thank you. Thank you guys for your work. Love and blessings.
Yeah, thank you for yours. Yeah, get out there and inspire. Inspire people. And, you know, you are inspiring, Michael. You know what? Hey, listen. You know, anyone that gets on the call, superior call, and wants to know how to be more effective in inspiring is inspiring. And, you know, end of story. You know what I mean? Like, let's just begin with that. Like, how many people are, you know, making time on Wednesday nights? Just set aside time to get on call and ask that question. I mean, I don't know. I mean, is the panel board lit up, Michael? Do we have a ton of people there? I mean, and so that in and of itself already speaks volumes about who you are. You are an inspiration. And you are inspiring. And just the fact that you're inquiring into how to be more effective at being inspiring is inspiring. And, you know, there'll be a whole lot of people that just because you ask that question are going to be inspired by everything that has transpired. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so, and there you have it. So, and all that all just came out of you asking that question. So that is how you're inspiring, just by virtue of the fact that you've been dialoguing with us about this. You know, now all kinds of people listen to this call and be inspired. And so inspiration could take a lot of different
Yeah. Taylor just dropped off there for a second. But I just want to mention one thing. I remember when I first started doing meditation, and I was very excited about it. And I used to, I was, very inspired myself, and I wanted to tell all my friends about it. And I remember one of my friends, I distinctly remember this. This was like 20 years ago, nearly 20 years ago. And I was sharing the good word, so to speak, and like giving the, sharing my experience and about spiritual things, right? And one of my friends, I can't remember who it was, but I just remember where I was standing next to the kitchen. I just remember the scene. And he basically said, everything you're saying sounds right, like all the words that you're, like it all makes sense and it's all good stuff. Like I can't fault you on the content of what you're saying, but it doesn't feel right. And that was quite disturbing for me to hear at that time. Yeah, this is a long time ago, but it was probably the best thing that ever happened, because I realized that knowing about things is one thing, and having an experience and coming from a deeper place within yourself, That's actually what is inspiring for people. It's not necessarily what you say, or even how you say it. You might say it with a lot of enthusiasm. Yeah, there's lots of speakers who do a line of cocaine before they go out on the stage, and they're very inspiring in some ways, but in a deeper place, there's something not quite right about the whole thing. And so that was a little bit of an ego sort of stab in the back, in a way, when that happened to me, but in a good way, though. And I realized that I needed to go deeper and deeper and deeper into myself, and then allow things to reveal themselves and just kind of bubble up and share that, rather than whatever else I was doing. So that's like a good piece of advice right there. You know, I'm glad my friend called me out about this years ago. That was awesome.
Yeah, and I would just add to that. I swear I dropped off there, so I don't know what I missed, but what Michael said, you know, I find the most inspiring, when I'm most inspired in listening to people, is when they're most authentic in sharing. You know, when they're just the most real, kind of authentic, not concerned about looking good or necessarily even sounding good, or that it's all even makes sense, you know, necessarily. But that, like Michael's saying, it just comes from a deep, genuine, authentic place. And that's where we all get inspired, because from that place, we all are one. You know, that's where we're all connected. We can all find ourselves in each other when we allow ourselves to be that authentic and vulnerable and real, you know, and not worry about, you know, how if it's all working out or, you know, makes even sense in a lot of ways, you know. And that's why kids are so inspiring, because they're just so such authentic little creatures, you know. They just say what they're there to say, and they don't really filter it a whole lot, you know. And usually it's just gold, you know. You're just, you're instantly moved, you know, often by the genuine authenticness that comes out of most kids' mouths.
I find.
I mean, they're really good. It's really good to hang around them because they're such little teachers. And, you know, not only speaking the truth, but being quite inspiring, you know, just in the nature of their authentic beingness. So we can learn from that, you know, and take that to heart.
Yeah, absolutely. And just being vulnerable, I think, is good, because this preachy thing tends to come from like preaching to the congregation. It's kind of like, I'm better than everyone else, I'm holier than everyone, and they're all the sinners, and they need to be preached to sort of like preach the wickedness out of these wicked people. You know, that sort of feeling about it. But when we are honest about our own challenges and about, you know, our own struggles and pain and joys, you know, like what's really real for us, then it connects with people on a human level. Whereas if it's all just theoretical, because one of the things I found quite interesting is that, you know, we share all these different things and all this stuff. And what people remember, funnily enough, is that the stories that we tell, yeah, they don't actually remember anything else, normally. The amount of people who said, oh, I remember your story about this, and I remember your story about that. But very few people ever come up to me and say, oh, I remember you talking about this great idea, you know, or something like that. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I think there's a tendency when we're teachers to want to sort of give people information. But they tend to forget everything and just remember stories. And they remember authentic, vulnerable sharings. And that's about it. So that's what sticks with us. And everything else disappears.
That is so true. I mean, that's so important there, that point. It's really true. And in fact, when we've send out emails and ask people, all right, what do you want more of? You know, how can we better serve you? Blah, blah. But time and time again, people say, we want more stories. We want more personal shares and stories.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, exactly, like you might remember, you know, everyone on the call might remember that someone told me when I was younger that the way I was speaking wasn't genuine, and so I felt upset about it. And then I had to go deeper in myself and be more real. You know, and that's like, that only took like 10 seconds to say. You know, it's not a big deal, but I wasn't saying it with a great deal of feeling. But this is a real experience, and everything, you know, it can be theoretical or it can be real. And that experience changed my life, because I personally felt it was a personal insult of me, and it was a bit of an attack in a way. But I'm very, very happy that it happened, because it was extremely humbling, and did me the world good. It really did. So, whoever, I can't remember who said that to me, but I'm very grateful for them now. At the time, I was a bit pissed, to be honest. But, yeah. So, I'm sure if someone says that to you, Michael, you're preaching out there, and they say, look, it's all very well, but I just don't feel it, and then you get a bit upset, and then you'll come out the other end feeling stoked. So share your stories.
Okay.
And a little book recommendation. I know people keep asking us for that. I've just recently got a book, someone recommended it, called The Story Wars. The Story Wars. And honestly, I've got it on Audible, and I've only listen to a little bit, but I think anyone who's into any kind of business of any kind where you're sharing with other people, stories are good, and this book is about telling stories. So I thought it's probably worth listening to, and it seems good so far. So if anyone's interested in understanding more about story, it's definitely a good book. The Story Wars. I can't remember the guy's name, but that's the name of the book. Beautiful. Well, Michael, thank you for making this call beautiful by christening it as a beautiful call.
Thank you.
And may you.
Yeah, thank you, Michael.
And may you go out and do your beautiful work and share your beautiful heart. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, we have lots of other people here who are on the call. If you would love to say hello, press star 2. Do you have any stories, any questions, any experiences? And we have people on the webcast, on the web. So if you have that little box somewhere around there, there's a box. And you can type it something in, say hello. Always lovely to hear from you. Just seeing if there's any questions. So, you know, of course, Taylor and I love hearing from you, so even if you just want to say hello. And I'll tell you another story while you're waiting. I remember being on these calls like this. Yeah, we're doing a call. We're like the people holding the call, and you're listening to the call, right? I remember when I was one time listening to the call. This is a while ago now. And the person said, well, if anyone wants to share something, feel free to share. And I remember feeling slightly panicked at the idea, my heart was beating at the idea of talking publicly on the call. And so I did it anyway, but I just want to acknowledge everyone, because that happened to me. I don't know if it's ever happened to Taylor, but it certainly happens to a lot of people. So it can be courageous just to raise your hand and just to say hello. But at the same time, this is all very very friendly and very family. So we're always touched to hear from you. But if you are having that experience of your heart is beating, or you feel it's in any, some way weird, then make sure you do raise your hand anyway. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I agree. And there's no doubt I've had that feeling many times on a call, you know, in a big group of people. And to me, that's just a sign that it's time for you to share. You've got that. And as we know, you know, as superheroes, it's important to constantly do things that you're afraid to do. You know, that's important to do. It's just good to do that.
Yeah. And I remember one time when I was in a conference in person with some people, and the speaker was saying, who wants to share, come up and share something. And I didn't want to go. I had to leave shortly after that anyway. I had a reason not to do it. But but I was actually, it was a bizarre experience. I was sitting right at the back of the room because I wasn't part of it, because I was about to leave. And I didn't want to go up, and I felt disturbed to go up. But I was literally like sucked off my chair, like I was like pulled up. This feeling like it bounced off my chair and found myself walking over to the mic, despite not wanting to at all. It was a very weird experience. So, it's all good. So those of you who haven't shared in the past, this is a good time to do it. And if you don't do it this time, then you can do it next time. But we recommend you do things right away whenever there's an inspiration. So we have a courageous soul here.
Yay!
Yay.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I was kind of having some phone problems there for a moment, right as you were switching over. Just trying to put in my earbuds, and I think the little audio jack on the phone is starting to lose its touch. It's not really working properly. So anyway, here I am. Yeah, it's Ethan. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. It's evening time for me now, and I'm home from work, just winding down, so that's always a good time. But in general, things have just been quite intense lately. It's just lots of stuff to do, it seems like, and it's been really hard to keep up with it all, I feel. And I didn't really have a question. I just wanted to get on to actually apologize to you, Michael, for not sending in my report as per your assignment yet, because I've been so busy. It seems like ever since that assignment came up, I started thinking about, you were talking last week about the finish list and all the stuff that I've kind of had on the to-do list recently, and okay, well, I want to finish these few things first before I get involved in, you know, a big project that could consume a lot of my time and focus outside of work. And so, and then last week you also were talking about how things generally tend to take longer than we expect them to, and that's been the case. So anyway, yeah, that's where I'm at. Things are just really difficult to keep up with right now, I feel like.
Well, it's an intense time, and glad that I was wondering what you were up to. Just for those of you listening in who don't know, I had a chat with Ethan recently, and he was wanting to get a new job, and was telling me that there weren't any jobs where he lived. And I didn't believe him because I'm a superhero. So I gave him an assignment to apply for 100 jobs, which, of course, is a bit of a mission. But I know it's a shocking thing to say. But the point of giving him that assignment, that mission, is to open up his eyes to possibilities that he might not have noticed that were there. Because there's endless possibilities for all of us. Well, there's so many possibilities because there's so many people and there's so many opportunities everywhere. But we often don't notice them because we're overwhelmed or we're just not looking, you know. So the assignment really was not so much that he has to apply for 100 jobs specifically, but more just aware that there's possibilities and open up his consciousness to newness, to freedom. So I think just the assignment itself probably shifted things. And also just have fun with it, you know, because oftentimes we get so heavy about things and take everything so damn seriously that nothing happens, you know. But, you know, because like I was saying to Ethan, in his case, he applies for a job. And then he might apply for a job that's way different than what he thinks he can do, but he might get the job anyway. Or he might not get the job, but he might be at the job place and see something else, talk to someone, and end up talking to someone on the bus or someone on the train or someone, you know, as he's walking down or whatever it is he's doing. And then meet someone, and then they meet someone else, and then he gets another job. Do you know what I mean? So, like, weird things happen. So just have you done anything at all in that direction?
Well, as far as the assignment goes, I've been spending the time daily, 5 to 10 minutes, like you suggested, just, visualizing and going into the feeling state of what it would be like to be in a more suitable circumstance with employment right now. So I've been doing that. I felt like the first step for me, practical step, was to get my resume updated. And like I was just saying a few moments ago, before I get too involved with that, because once I do, I'm just going to kind of set that in motion, and that's going to be my main focus. I don't want to have to, like, jump around and juggle multiple projects at once, and it's a tough time right now because there's a lot of stuff going on at home that I need to take care of, like, just around the house in general, cleaning up gutters, getting the house ready for winter, that type of stuff, you know. And so, to answer the question, that's where I'm at. You know, I've been doing the visualizing and stuff daily. I still need to sit down and update my resume and then actually get on the search and start finding these jobs and applying.
Yeah. Just do it for fun. Do it for fun. You know, generally, just do it for a laugh. No, really, sometimes expecting a result, it often makes everything a bit anxious, anxiety. But when you just do it for fun, then it happens. I'll give you a quick story, right? My friend Paul, who lives in Sedona, he was telling me, when he was younger, he's retired at 41, and he's got loads of money, and he doesn't have to work, right? And that's pretty impressive, I think. And he, when he was younger, he applied for a kitchen job in a restaurant, right? He was going to work in the kitchen, maybe make salad or something. So he shows up for the interview, and the manager says to him, "So why do you think you're right for the position of assistant manager?" And he thought he was applying for making salad, and he's now being interviewed for being an assistant manager, right? So on the, rather than saying, "No, I came here for salad," he instead decided to wing it and just come up with a bunch of reasons why he thought he could be a good assistant manager, right? And so he ended up getting the job, yeah? He got the job and became assistant manager, which he didn't expect, and he had to learn, obviously, how to do the stuff. And then he ended up buying the restaurant from the manager, who had another idea, another business. And then he ended up selling the restaurant for I think, $1 million or something. And then he moved to Sedona. He was in California. It's a pretty cool story, isn't it? But he showed up for a salad job and ended up getting an assistant manager job, right? So you might go in for an interview. I mean, I'd suggest you apply for any kind of position that you feel you want to have, because at the end of the day, most jobs have on-site training of some kind, and what they want is quality people, yeah? So they'll train you how to do stuff anyway, unless it's like, obviously, like heart surgery or something. You need a bit more practice. But a lot of jobs, you just need to show up, get some training, play around a little bit, and then you get good at it. And so a lot of companies want quality people more than they want skilled people, because skills can be learned, but quality is something else. So, so have fun with it.
Yeah, definitely. You were just sharing Paul's story there, and that got me thinking about a question that came up for me, a couple weeks ago now. And so, let's see, it was on my birthday when him and Kathy did the call. This is the same fall that you're talking about, correct? Back in the middle of August, Kathy and him did a call together.
Oh, that's right, yeah, Paul. Yeah, he's the guy, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I think you.
Okay, I got my my headphones in now, and it seems to be working. Okay, good. So anyway, yeah, he was sharing that story in detail with everybody on the call, and one of the points that he was making while he was sharing that story was about how he felt through that process, especially particularly in the beginning, that, you know, even though he was all, he went in for one thing in the interview and ended up getting offered the job for something totally different, and he was kind of winging it. He was, I guess the point he was kind of making was, he didn't plan for any of that, but it felt like some sort of divine guidance was coming through, right? And obviously that seems to be the case when you look at the story over time now. And so in my life, I almost could relate to that in a sense, because the job that I'm currently in right now, working at this place just as a seasonal employee, that was assistant to the maintenance wanted to leave. They were moving out of state. And so they offered me to do what they could, basically, to ensure, or not really ensure, but get me that job once they left, the full-time supervisor position. And the way that it's similar to Paul's story is that, well, I don't have experience and skills doing all the stuff that this person is responsible for. And so, but part of me felt that this was where I needed to be and it was an opportunity, you know, sure, I'm going to wing it and go for it. And that's, it ended up panning out that the people in charge of this place, they interviewed me for the position and stuff, and they ended up hiring me. But
yeah, so why don't you go into work tomorrow and say that you want to be vice president? And see what they say.
Well,
yeah,
here's the thing, though, that this place that I work at, that it's got a board of trustees that operate it as a business, basically. But they're all volunteers. And so the highest position in this place is actually where I am as a paid employee. I have that position.
Oh,
so,
there you go. Then you're the highest ranking person there. So good for you. So you can go to your next job and say, I was the top guy.
Right.
And I can do the same thing for Walmart, you know, or Amazon or Google. I'm just joking. But, yeah. I think the main thing is it's an energy thing and it's a willingness thing. So you hold the vision, you know what you want, you're open to it, and then you just take massive action and don't hold back at all, you know. What do you reckon, Taylor, for someone wanting a job and in some kind?
Do you want a job, Ethan?
No, really. I'd like to be in a position where I'm like you guys, I get paid to do what I love to do every day type of thing, and it doesn't feel like work to me, you know, and there's a lot of people out there that have that fortunate situation. There's a lot of people that don't, but that's more or less what I'm looking for in the long run. But it seems to me right now that to get to that point, I might have to take what seems to me to be another job. Basically, if we want to call it that.
Okay. All right, so then I think what's important is you set your sights on a job that you would love, so you are getting paid for doing what you love.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Have you identified that?
Well, this could involve various things, because I was telling Michael, and I've told lots of other people, that I just have various interests. I've got multiple interests that I'm passionate about, and there's not really, I mean,
I know, but
could
wasn't
be all,
one of them, wasn't one of them being a guide?
a guide for...
Like outdoor stuff?
Yeah, I don't know that I ever... I don't remember ever mentioning that, but that, yeah, that is kind of something that I would be interested in doing, yeah.
Where do you live again?
I live in Washington on the Olympic Peninsula out.
Yeah. I'm sure you're the one that's like, yeah, okay, well, fair enough. I mean, so have you looked into outdoor experience companies there that hire guys?
Yeah, I haven't actually. There's a couple businesses that operate that kind of service around here, mainly through particular activities. Like, I don't know, there's one business that comes to mind for me when you mention that is a place that specifically does like biking and kayaking guided tours.
Yeah, that would be perfect for you. Have you contacted them?
No, I haven't. Actually, I haven't even thought about contacting them.
Yeah, you got to do that first in March. Tell them you've lived there for how long?
I was kind of in and out for a number of years, but I think altogether, if you were to add it up, I've probably been in this area for 16 years, 15 or 16 years.
Okay, all right, enough said. You know, anything, you know, a master, you know, what denotes mastership of something is if you've been doing it for a minimum of 10 years. So you're a master guide of the Olympic Peninsula. All right, let's be frank. And, you know, you really love sharing the wonders of that region, and it dawned on you, hey, maybe I'll just see if these guys need some help over here. And you go over and you just knock on that door and say, yeah, you know, I've got some spare time on my hand. I'm in between setting up a couple other businesses. And what I love doing more than anything is sharing the wonders of the Olympic Peninsula region here with people. Wanted to see if you needed any help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should definitely inquire with them.
Yeah. Or, you know, that co-op there in, what is it, Fort Townsend?
What's
that town there? I mean, that place is incredible. I would, you know, put together some nice little postcard because, you know, the number of people that go in and out of there that are visiting, especially from other countries, is high. And furthermore, you know, right next to there is the youth hospital. And there's people from all over the world in there constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I would contact, do you know the people that run that?
I don't know the people that run that, but there's a natural food store here in the town that I live in that has a, you know, a little cork board, post board for events and that sort of thing. And I know the people that operate that business. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Maybe Taylor just dropped off. Yeah. Well, in that case, then, you know, just contact them. I mean, realistically, most things in life is just a phone call or a conversation at faith. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing that can happen is that they say, not right now, maybe later. That's the worst, and that's not a big deal. Or no, you know, so what? I mean, it's not like there's the end of the world, but they might well say yes, or yes at this time, or yes, come and see us, or yes, something. And so I think most of life seems to be just willing to have a go, and just have a go, you know, at least stick your foot in the door, you know. And
yeah.
Most of the time, things turn out to be a lot more pleasant than we realize. You know, a lot of in our minds, we make up all these stories and think things are all going to be horrible. And then when we do it, we realize actually it's fine. And it was great. much, you know, and enjoyed it.
Okay, sorry about that. I dropped off. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
What I was saying is, those people are nice there that run that hospital. I know them well. They're, and they're all about, you know, making sure people that pass through there, of which those are people from all over the world, have the best time ever. And so you could put together a little postcard that says, you know, Olympic National Park, you know, outdoor experience guide, wilderness guide, and whatever, you know, salmon extraordinaire, or whatever. And have it there at their hostel and, you know, connect with them and let them know that you're all about doing that. And if they have people there that they'd like to turn that on, that, you know, here's your card and you can pass it out to them. Meanwhile, you know, and that, you know what I'm saying? So that has you doing what you love to do and working for yourself. But I'd also check out that, you know, that outdoor place there. And, cause that's just, I have a sense that'll lead to a lot of other things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I would probably have to get some more experience and maybe even some sort of training and like, just, you know, weekend courses that have to do with wilderness, survival, stuff like that, because I actually don't have any of that. And I, to be honest, I said I've lived in this area for 15, 16 years, somewhere in that time frame, but it's only been in the last maybe 5 years that I've really started to explore the area as far as the wilderness goes. Because when I first moved here, I was still in high school, and I just didn't really care about any of that. None of that really appealed to me until just in, say, in the last 8 years or something, and I've been recently exploring around, and there's so much terrain here, I know very, very little of it.
Well, that may be, but you know more than the guy shows up from Amsterdam for the weekend.
Yeah.
And you don't even need to go, I'm not talking hardcore, you know, off trail, backpack, you know, stuff. I'm just talking,
right.
You know, even just the basics. You know, people love to have just the basics. Someone that knows, you know, somewhat about the area and, you know, because a lot of these people aren't there for extended periods anyways. Maybe they just have 1 or 2 days, but they, you know, they want to really get the most of those 1 or 2 days, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And sure, yeah, meanwhile, if that's something that does appeal to you to develop more skills in, you could do that in the background, but I don't think you need to wait around for that, you know? You could start right away, just based on the knowledge you have by virtue of that you live there for as long as you have. And, you know, let you know a handful of great experiences that you would want to share with people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm.
Or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I've thought about something similar to that has crossed my mind that I've toyed around with a little bit, which is, and you guys probably heard me mention before, I like to fish. Fishing is one of my, you know, outdoor recreational passions. And I've thought about, there's tons of guides out here. There's no shortage of fishing guides, and I wouldn't consider becoming a fishing guide for multiple reasons, but and as far as having a boat goes, like there's lots of that, but there isn't anybody that is providing a guide service for that activity that does like on foot, not from a boat, fishing from the bank, taking people to, you know, all the spots that I've kind of mapped out that are they're not known by just anybody that comes through here to fish. You know, like you deserve.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I thought you wanted. Because I remember we were on a call once and you were telling somebody that, hey, when you want to come fish, you know, let me know and I'll take you out. And I think, oh, that's what he does. So that's what I mean. Do that. You're right. Because plenty of people can go in a boat, but a lot of people don't want to go in a boat. So
yeah.
You go, right there. That's something you love. You already know those special places, and it'd be fun to share with other people. So you put that together in a little card, you know, if you'd like to have the Ultimate Olympic Peninsula back, you know, secret fishing area, little bank fishing trip, you know, call me.
Boom.
And there you go. And you can hook them up with whatever, you know, maybe license they need for that day, or, you know, you can kind of do the research on getting that. So it's all handled for them. They don't have to try to sort that all out. You know what I mean? You can just make it smooth and easy for them. You got maybe an extra pole. You know what I mean? You have everything. Because people are there from Amsterdam. They don't have a pole. They don't have a license. They don't know where to go. And there it is. You're the answer to all that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
totally.
I like that idea.
Yeah, and just so you know, this is very practical. I have a friend in Hawaii who literally all he does for his income is fishing and collecting shells and selling them at the market. And he makes enough money to have $1 million house on the north shore of Kauai on just those two things.
Wow.
Literally. So I don't know how he manages it, but that's all he does. And, so, you know, there's money in fishing, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any shells around, fine, I'm sure there's money in that as well. But, you know, just the bottom line is this, like, whatever you want to do, and this applies to all superheroes, but if you've got some sort of idea for something you'd like to do with your life, then just get on with it, you know. Just get on with it. It's like Michelle was saying. Just do it, just do it, just get on with it. Because then it moves forward. You get experience. You find out what works, what doesn't work, and then you refine it. And then before you know it, that's just what you do. That's just the thing, you know. And it's normal, you know, and it's fun. So, yeah, it sounds like you've
Yeah. Yeah, I've been hearing you talk about this for, I don't know how long, Ethan. And time's up.
Enough's enough.
For God's sake. Enough's enough. That's right. Now, the next time we hear from you, I expect to hear about the people you've taken out on fishing expeditions, for God's sake.
Okay, well, I'll do my best to get a flyer put together. And
just a little thing. No, nothing fancy. Nothing fancy. And, you know, I mean, thank God I remember that, for God's sake. I out of the blue, I pulled that out of nowhere. I don't know. I remember thinking, I think somewhere I logged that in my memory bank, Ethan, fishing, Olympic Peninsula. If I'm ever there and want to fish, nearly God, I'm going to call, you know? So you better darn well have that service there, because I think I may have even referred a couple people to you. So.
All right.
Oh, dear. Yeah, Ethan, you're the guy. And furthermore, you know, you can do it from an enlightened viewpoint. It's not just like fishing with Ethan. It's like fishing with superhero Ethan, who at the same time that's enlightening you about the salmon run is also enlightening you about, you know, the fragile ecosystem and all these other things and passing that information on. You know what I mean? Like, they're getting way more than just access to, you know, a fishing hole, for God's sake. So, you know, that's huge right there.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly there's a lot of valuable information that I could share with people that get to come with me.
And, you know, fishing in and of itself is a very meditative act. So, you know, just the kind of people that will be drawn to that will already be great people that you want to connect with, and then, yeah, one thing will lead to another, and you'll be building, like, a whole community and network of all these people that you've connected with in that way, and that'll lead to who knows what, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I get really confused with where I want to put my focus, a majority of my focus in terms of my purpose and mission. And one of the things that I've kind of let prevent me from putting this particular thing together, you know, just doing a flyer, putting it in the store and seeing what happens, is that I think about, well, I know that it's all perception. The service that I'm providing is, part of me is like, I see the value in it, what we're talking about, being able to share valuable information with people about ecosystem sustainability and stuff like that. But at the same time, I think, well, really, what, I mean, how beneficial is that to a majority of people? And like, what, I just don't, I would feel kind of guilty almost that I'm not really doing my best, you know, to make a big difference in this world by doing something like that.
Oh, well, you can just give that whole, no, it doesn't. So there.
Doesn't make sense.
You can just give that whole concept up. Is it not at all true? It's something that who knows where it's even coming from, but it doesn't matter. And you can just throw it away. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, I talk a lot to mothers who are busy raising kids all day. And they say the same thing, you know, oh, you know. But I feel like, really, I need to get on with my life. I mean, I'm spending all day just speaking to this kid. I mean, I need to make the bigger difference in the world, blah, 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 you know, that whole thing. And you know, to them I say, you know, good idea to stop having that conversation, you know, because, no, you know, who you are is making the, is your commitment to making the biggest difference you can in the world, okay? And that's who you are. You will make it. You will make it. And you don't have it may be one person you talk to, you know, that you take on a fishing trip, that happens to be just connected to who knows what, you know? So, as long as your intention is that who you are is committed to making the biggest difference in the world in whatever ways you're meant to make it, and right now the expression of that is you being an Olympic Peninsula fishing tour guide, they, you know, it's like build it and they will come. You know, you will be delivered the very individuals that are meant to connect with you. And just watch. You just get ready. You get ready for the show. And miracles abound, but you get yourself out there. The minute you do, right now, this is going to be a major difference in the world. So you want to change it. You have to watch your path.
You're breaking up a bit, Taylor.
Are you still there, Taylor? Darn. Well, everything that did come through right there was really potent.
Yeah, so maybe that's all you needed.
Mm-hmm, I guess so. Well, coming close to 7 o'clock here. You guys probably need to get on to the next.
We have another call coming up. But basically, brother, you know, you're doing more than you realize, you know, and don't think that the one thing that you do, that's it forever. You know, like if you do this thing, then you're kind of blocked, and that's, for a start, you're going to help loads of people in a way that you don't even realize just because it's you, yeah? You know, the amount of times in my life, I've been doing boring things, and people have like had some benefit just because I'm being myself. You don't have to do anything special necessarily to be a special person. Jeremy, so that's really important to not worry too much about those things. But also, this is just creating space in your life for other things that you might want to do as well, because you have all these ideas and all these talents. So we just need to get you out of the current situation so you have more time. Having more fun. And then that opens the door to all kinds of other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just willingness. And I, you know, in a way, if you don't want a job and you want to work for yourself, then it's absolutely critical that you abandon the job idea and actually start working for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So,
well, I could be pretty happy working for some, you know, a business that is more aligned with my values. And
yeah,
I don't have that right now. Otherwise, I might be pretty happy where I'm at. But, yeah, ultimately, I think I would kind of prefer eventually to work for myself. But as a, you know, stepping stone between here and there, I would be more than happy to gain some new experience while providing, you know, my services for another business that just is aligned with my values. Like I said, that would be cool, you know, whether that's doing little projects for different companies that are in resonance with me, or working full time for one company that is aligned. So,
absolutely. So Taylor just jumped back on. Any last thoughts, Taylor?
I don't know what happens, but I do know what happened. I drove through that spot, but I don't know what happened since I've been off. But so anyways, I don't know what you heard of what I last said. I was just talking. So
well, I got some really good stuff out of it, and
so that's good.
The emphasis of
the point is this, Ethan. You know, kind of what you're doing isn't necessarily the point. As long as you love it, I think that's important. But when you're what your intention is that in whatever you're doing, your vector is making the biggest difference that you can make on the planet, you will, you know, be brought. People, it'll happen. You know, there'll be people that will come across your path, or, you know, miracles will abound by virtue of your saying so, more than anything else, you know. You're saying, this is how this is going to go. I mean, I never know what the heck is going to happen at all, ever, from one minute to the next, or even where I'm going to be on the planet, actually, most of the time. But one thing I do know, and really maybe the only thing I know, is I just have a trust and faith and a commitment that wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, it's going to result in me making the biggest possible contribution I can make to the planet.
Mm.
Period.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because I feel like I've sensed that in the back of my consciousness now and again, but, you know, the mind kind of gets in the way and likes to question things, and yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, the mind is good at that, very good at that. And, you know, that's what's good about jumping on the call and, you know, pushing these things out, because, I mean, you know, otherwise we're kind of operating in a vacuum, you know, so. And God forbid, you know, we don't have the feedback that we can get from a community like this, that we're all up to the same thing. You know, we all want to make the biggest difference we can, and we all have minds, and we all can get caught up in them, you know. And so that's the beauty of having these calls, where we can really get on, kind of flush it out, say what our concerns are, you know, and get support that we need to keep moving forward in spite of what our concerns are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ethan, I think I, you know, frankly, for me, just, you know, I would be happy to have you working in any company I had just for your energy alone. You know, you have a very calm, grounded, balanced, smooth, clear, peaceful energy. And that's a huge contribution to the world, just that alone, even if you're not doing anything at all. You know, so just know that. You know, you don't really have to do much of anything except show up, because who you are speaks louder than what you do. And by the way, you know, that could probably be said for any superhero, really, but I mean, just because we're talking to you, I'm just telling you, you know.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's totally true. And, you know, that's my experience of you. And so people would just be blessed just to be able to be with you, honestly.
Well, that would be my intention and hope for any kind of interactions and such. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for getting on the call and for admitting to Michael that you didn't follow through.
That happened. I intend to. That's on the list of priorities. And
actually, you have been following through. You've been holding the vision, and that's actually the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have been doing it, and I'm glad we talked, because it's much better that you do this new thing we just talked about than it would be for you to get some random job somewhere else, because that's not what you want. So
mm-hmm.
I just want to underscore what Taylor just shared. I thought that was very, very important for everyone. Having the intent, just the intention when you wake up, how can I be of the greatest service to the world, to other people today? How can I be of greatest service? What can I do to be of the greatest service? And just holding that intention, that's just such a pure and powerful intention. And it's so unlimited as well, because that can take for endless different forms under any circumstance. So you might be doing nothing, but you're in the supermarket, you know, buying some like salad or something. But you're still having that intention, and then wonders happen, which is, you know, happens all the time. But just having that intention, I really appreciate that, Taylor. I think that's just like a lovely, lovely thought to dwell on over and over again, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I think that's a good mission. That's a good mission to close the call on this mission. The mission of this next week or 2 weeks is to hold that intention. How can I be of the greatest service today, right now, and keep asking that and keep being open to what that might look like. Again and again and again and again and again. I think it's like just it's like opening the door to miracles right there, but by even just being interested in asking that question. That feels like it's a purifying question. Clears out all the nonsense and all this, or, oh, I'm not good enough, or what will people think, or I'm busy, or I'm, you know, I want this and that and the other for myself and all those sort of things. It's absolutely purifying. It's like taking a huge cleanse and coming out the other end for like a month, in 1 second, coming out clean on all levels.
Mm-hmm.
In a second. So thank you, Taylor. What a beautiful, beautiful question. And I know you actually do ask that again and again and again. So that's coming from deep. That's like a 1% like tight sparkling gem right there, Taylor. So thank you so much, Taylor. That's like priceless.
Thank you, Ethan, for, you know, having a dialogue.
You're welcome. And yes, like Michael says, that was pure gold. So thank you for putting that out there right here at the end of the call.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys very much. I love everything that you guys do and share. Thank you.
You're welcome, brother. We love you too, and we look forward to hearing your latest and greatest experiences next time we chat.
All right.
Wonderful.
Well, I will provide that.
We're looking forward. Yay. Well, it's always a joy to hear updates and newness. So, Taylor, any final thoughts, Taylor? Last words on this wonderful intention holding? Would you want to give a little tip for anyone listening on how to be consistent with this new consciousness?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't think so.
It is what it is.
I think so, yeah. I think it is.
There we go. Well, I think it's for each person to figure it out
mm-hmm.
on their own. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Taylor, for your precious jewels of pearls of wisdom and blessings.
Yeah, thank you also. And, I'm happy I was able to. I wasn't quite sure how it was going to go reception-wise, but for the most part, I was there. So,
yes, you were.
That all worked out.
Thank you. And thank you to all the superheroes for showing up on a Wednesday evening to discover how you can be of the greatest service to all and to be willing to have a go and just do things that are inspired. So when next time the inspiration arises with inside of you, just act on it. Just allow it to come up and allow it to move you and just allow that energy to propel you forward, and you'll start to feel so much lightness. And don't think too much, just allow the movement to happen, allow the energy to take you. Realizing that you're here just to serve those souls that you're here to serve, and don't worry about anyone else, you're just focused on who you're here to serve and the way that you're here to serve. And allow the grace to fill you. Allow the grace to fill you. Sending you so much gratitude and love from the heart. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Have a beautiful evening, beautiful morning, beautiful afternoon. And we look forward to connecting with you very, very soon. Much love and aloha.